The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin. In Texas. This episode was brought to you by Happy Mammoth. Maybe you're going through, dare I say, menopause or perimenopause. If so, my guess is you're having a hard time finding comfort in your body. I have just the thing that really works. Hormone Harmony has become an absolute phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. It is the craziest statistic. Enter Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony. They're dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make zero compromise when it comes to quality, and it really does show. What I love is that Hormone Harmony contains herbal extracts called aptogens, which basically do exactly what it sounds like. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. If you're struggling with hot flashes, night sweats, racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating, gas, and no desire to be next to someone in bed, if you catch my drift, Hormone Harmony can really help with all these things. The best part, especially if you're listening and thinking to yourself, this is all great, but I'm not going through menopause yet. Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause, but for women with any symptoms of hormonal imbalances. The biggest benefit of all is really truly feeling like yourself again. In fact, it's the main takeaway women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 160,000 reviews, to be exact. Okay, for our Lipstick on the Rim audience, we have a limited time 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Use code LIPSTICK at checkout.
Hey, I'm Molly Sims.
And I'm Emisha Gormley. We're two girls obsessed with one thing,
beauty.
And by that, we mean everything that makes you look
and feel
beautiful.
We're calling on our favorite health experts, industry insiders, and friends to answer all your beauty questions.
With a drink in hand.
Definitely with a drink in hand.
You're listening to Lipstick on the Rim with Molly Sims.
Our next guest has been my icon for a really, really long time. Today, you guys, we have someone so special on. Oh, that's right. Little Gabby Reese. Oh, yeah, I know. Former professional volleyball player and model, and since has created her own high-intensity workout called HIX, which she led us on an amazing WISE event with Left on a Friday. I have to tell you about it. We worked so hard. Let me just read you a little bit.
She fully regretted
inviting me. I did not. Completed in the 1999 to 2000 Olympic 4-on-4 Challenge Series, FIVB Beach Volleyball World Tour took first place at the first ever Beach Volleyball World. She's been featured Sports Illustrated, Travel and Leisure, Gold, Harper's. You've written a New York Times bestseller, which was interesting. My Foot is Too Big for the Glass Slipper. You were married to Laird Hamilton, three children, and co-founder of what, guys, when I say it's one of my favorite companies, Laird Superfood, where she has been able to take her nutrition expertise and create delicious, plant-based, better-for-you food products. The creamer is, you know this, this is what I take in the bag when I buy the too big a bag, then I put it in the smaller bag. Now I have the travel bags. Gabby Reese, we are so excited. Today's episode is all about secrets to training like an athlete.
If they saw your arm muscle like I do right now, they'd be like, give it to me. Give it to me.
No, and I want to pivot back to the beginning of your career. But I think, you know, I think what we've learned is boredom is bad. You've got to mix it up and less is more. And less is more with high intensity. And I loved your workout. Had I not just had an L5-S1 disc replacement, I probably would have loved it more. But I, like Emisha, we love that 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off, 50 seconds on. And listen, there's room for dancing or Pilates or whatever.
Absolutely.
But when you're getting on that treadmill or you're doing that high intensity, it really works. So we're so excited to talk about that. Take us back. Professional
athlete. How
many
years do you want to go?
You can go out.
Oh, God.
How has your workout regime, diet, lifestyle changed since then? We did a
we asked our listeners kind of what they wanted to know and like how you became Gabby. Like they know like a little bit, but how you trained, how you do it, and how you've now transferred it into a mom. I mean, you still are a super icon, but take us back a little.
You know, as far as like my sports life, I kind of fell into all of that. I'm very tall. I'm 6'3".
Are you 6'3"?
Yeah. And so I moved from the Virgin Islands my junior year and I moved to Florida and they were sort of like, you really should be in sports. And then I ended up going to college on a scholarship. Like when I say it, I was always catching up to it. But what came out of that was a deep love for it because I wasn't burnt out. And then I went on. I was modeling at that time as well. And so I gave up my scholarship. I paid to play and was doing my spring training in living in New York instead. So I made a deal with my coach. I would work because I was independent and paying for myself. And then because I loved it still and I wasn't burnt out and it was my idea, I ended up playing professional beach volleyball. And so that's when I got my first real trainer. It's a gentleman named T.R. Goodman. And so the idea of like kind of how to train and prepare to perform better for sports specifically probably was when I started in the pros. And I wouldn't
that
say my-
That is so crazy. I just assume like you've been playing volleyball since you were like four.
No, I was late to it. I dabbled in it in the Virgin Islands. But the idea that you were ever going to do anything with it never occurred to me. You know, I thought I was going to work in a gift shop probably. I mean, I grew up in a place where tourists came.
Right.
And so
that's crazy.
It wasn't a grooming for like, you will do this. I think my family was like, wow, that's weird that this is what happened for you.
So you don't live in LA where everybody has a private coach and they want you to do one sport and burn you out by the time you're 14.
And people have to be careful. Listen, people should do whatever they want to do.
We're going to talk about
it. From an experience. Okay, so we'll talk about that. But so what happened is I had a really great coach in college who continued my love. A good coach is really powerful, not only to help you develop as a person and your character. She used to talk about personal accountability all the time. She's still a dear friend of mine. But just like, wow, this game is pretty fun. So I played professionally and loved it. The reality is that's maybe when my nutrition started to get a little better. Because I came from the days of like, oh, you have a game tomorrow, you're going to carb load.
Oh, right.
I remember that.
Right, which is a
myth. I totally remember that.
Yeah, so I would say the nutrition was the last piece, and that probably came more in my mid-20s, the movement. And also, I will say this, in some ways, I might have overtrained. I think there was a part of me that had a chip on my shoulder. I was always trying to prove myself that I was an athlete. The other stuff was just something I was doing. I did have that chip, and because I was late to the game, I think I was operating in a way of like, I have to work harder than everybody.
I have to play catch up.
Yeah. So there was just a lot of dynamics in play and you're playing on a team sport.
So you never thought when you were younger, like, I'm an athlete.
I had an active lifestyle and I probably had an athletic physique,
right.
But it wasn't a thing.
Right.
It wasn't like the first athlete I ever saw was Babe Dietrichson Zaharias. And she played professional tennis and she was a track athlete and she played golf. And she was muscular and kind of like, I'm going to kick your ass. And then the second athlete that influenced me was Cheryl Miller when she played basketball at USC. And I was like, whoa, you know, it just was sort of an interesting idea. But it wasn't something I thought I was going to do, which is maybe in the long run better.
And then did you know in college, like, you're going to be a professional?
No. It was never the idea. I had never played beach volleyball. You have to realize I was only an indoor player. I was a middle blocker through and through.
She's Elia Rubin. Going to give our shout out to our Stanford sunshine, Elia Rubin.
Yeah, so I was late to it. And then I picked up, what happened is when I was done with college, I didn't want to live in New York full time to work. I thought I was just going to go back into modeling. And there was a limitation there. I was working quite a lot, but because of my size, I couldn't fit into everything. And that was in the time of like the beastliest women ever. I mean, it was like Turlington, Crawford, Naomi Campbell, like you name it. So I had my little small niche, but I knew the limitation. I mean, keep going. Claudia Schiffer, like how far do you want to go? And I wasn't versatile. I look how I look and they were all more chameleons. They fit into things.
You're a chameleon, but your height, you know, it's the same with my girlfriend. She was Jessica, who my girlfriend was modeling for 30 years. Like, she was 6'2", and it became difficult.
You just have a line.
Have a
and
line.
If you're realistic with yourself, you kind of like, all I can say is thank God for Rachel Williams. I don't know if you remember her, because she really opened the door for me, because her body was even sort of bigger than mine. And Steven Meisel was in love with her. So in a good, you know, shoot her. And so there were some things that went in my favor. Gilles Ben-Simon and I are still even friends to this day. But I knew in my mind, plus in my mind, I was like, I'm an athlete. I want to play sports. But I thought that was it. And so I moved to Miami and I started playing on the beach for fun.
Did you find that your modeling career parallel to sports, like the sports gave you a confidence that a lot of the other girls and women didn't have?
I'll tell you a quick, really quick story. I was shooting for British Vogue. I think we're with Albert Watson. Okay, I was in studio and I was with a woman. I believe it was Gail Elliott. Is she?
I love Gail.
Okay. Very fine, very elegant.
Elegant.
She probably ate sliced apples at lunch. You know what I'm saying?
Gail was always more petite than you and I.
And very perfect. And like, I don't think she laughed so much when she had makeup on because you don't want to get lines. Like the whole thing, right? And I thought, oh, wow, that's interesting. I mean, elegant, beautiful. But I thought, not robust.
No.
Then I would fly, literally, go from there, go to a stinky gym in Tallahassee, Florida, with girls where like your butts were big and you had big legs because you were lifting and jumping. Maybe they had some blemishes because you're sweaty and gross, but confident.
Confident.
And robust. And like, I'm going to take up space. So I thought to myself, I mean, I was working with.
And how old were you?
Probably 19. And I was working with like Carrie Otis and like girls that were so beautiful.
Carrie Otis.
You thought. You know, and they go, you can't have it all. And they go, oh, they didn't tell her this. You know, it's like everything, like body, the face, everything. But I thought, oh, being perfectly beautiful, so beautiful you're paid, is not the answer to feeling good about yourself.
It's actually the opposite.
There. Well, you can't live up to it, right? You can see even a picture of yourself and think, that's really weird because I know when I wake up, I don't look like that. So sports really just put it in such the most beautiful contrast right in front of me at 19. And so I thought, okay, I want to feel powerful. And I don't mean big and powerful. I just want to feel like here I am. And I felt like my athlete teammates and stuff did that easier. You're always going to come across a model who doesn't give a shit. And like, that's fine too. They do exist.
I didn't really come across that.
It's just harder, right? And so anyway, so it was in front of me. So maybe what that it gave me is I was never going to fit into everything. My feet were big. I was the smallest I ever was a size 8. And so I just.
You're 6'3". I mean, right. A size 8 is like tiny.
And I was trying to be big enough to compete against girls that want to eat your lunch. Right. So I was always kind of juggling it. So I thought, okay, you just got to go with your template. And so maybe that was it. And then after I played, there was a woman in Miami after about a year. She goes, you should move to California and try to play professionally. And I thought, okay. Because, you know, you don't know better.
No, exactly.
I was 22. And I moved to California. Put my car in a mover and all my stuff. And because I was modeling it and I had enough kind of work under my belt, I could pull and work and do stuff here. And it worked out. I think within a few months, I had a Nike contract. But here's the deal. Here's a really important part, because when people talk about hard work and all these things, yes, I do all of that. I was really, really fortunate. Luck is always a part of the deal. So the four-person tour started right then. That was very good for my game coming from indoor. If I had to go just doing doubles, it would have taken a lot longer. So that was something that was really important. And so
a little bit of luck.
100%. And then what happened is modeling helped me navigate the image and the whole trip with Nike, because no one ever saw you play.
Oh my God. I remember seeing her
You were in high school.
I'm in high school, right? Yeah. So I'm only like a few years younger, but I remember seeing her tanned body with like the shorts, the muscle, and they had her like slick. You were slick. Like they
volleyball
had,
players are pretty slick. The bodies are pretty slick.
You were slick. Your hair. Sometimes you'd even like play with it down a little bit. You do like mainly pony, but with the thing. And I'm like, oh my God, it's Gabrielle Reese. This is so funny.
Yes. There's so many iconic images I remember of you. You know, I'm 45 and I grew up like watching you. And, you know, I think, and the reason I asked the question about sports and confidence is because I think that you always projected this quiet confidence. Mm-hmm. And I personally attribute that when I see sports, you know, girls playing sports, and I have three daughters. That's why I encourage them to stay in sports. Cause I think it just builds like I watch my daughter when she walks and she feels like she's crushed a game. I'm like, you have swagger right now. Mm-hmm. And I want that to carry through as you get older.
And being on a team and building, being able to work with a team.
Well, how about this? Develop a skill. So it, whether it's in sport or something else, what happens with working hard and failing and surviving failure and even learning how to win, allowing yourself to win, because that's part of it. That is the thing that makes you, and doing it the way that represents who you are, because we are all different, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's when we get in touch with those things that no matter how, whatever platform we're doing that with, when we walk into a room, we just go, hey, here I am. And if it's like, how do you see me? What do you think of me? Do you think I'm pretty? Do you like me? Do you like my outfit? Do you like my hair? That's a death, right? And it's, unfortunately for girls, it's so easy because also, by the way, girls are pretty. All girls are pretty, mm-hmm. right? They just are. And that's mm-hmm. their currency when they're young. But if we could just twist it and go, cool, but what excites you? What interests you? And how do you develop a skill? Because at the end of the day, the skill is always yours. And, you know, you are the right look. You're not the right look. That's completely out of your hands.
Let's face it. I'm always looking for the newest thing to make me the best version of myself. Maybe you're looking to be a better parent or perform better at your job. I think we're always striving for both of those things. I know I am. Did you guys know that 75% of American adults are deficient in magnesium, a mineral that's essential to hundreds of functions in the body? That means there's 3 out of 4 chance you are deficient. Magnesium deficiency is the root cause of a whole host of modern ailments, from anxiety to depression to insomnia to stress. I've recently started taking Mellow Magnesium. It's a powerful daily super blend that contains the 3 most bioavailable and nutrient-dense forms of chelated magnesium on Earth, the 2 most stress-busting aminos, GABA and L-theanine, and over 70 trace minerals. It's truly in a league of its own, offering over 300 health benefits for better sleep, for optimum health and wellness. It comes in 4 really delicious flavors, from lemon to lavender berry, which I'm obsessed with, to pomegranate, to naked, which is stripped down. Flavor-free version that's great for adding into your smoothies or protein shakes if you don't want any flavor. Ned spent over 3 years developing their best-selling Mellow Magnesium Super Blend, a quest that took them from the halls of MIT, that's right, MIT, to Iceland, to the frigid waters of the Irish Sea. These guys literally went to the ends of the earth to create one of the best magnesium supplements on the planet. If you've been wanting to try a new magnesium, I think you guys are going to absolutely love this one. Become the best version of yourself and get 15% off your Ned products with code LIPSTICK. Okay, here's what you do. HelloNed.com/lipstick. HelloNed.com/lipstick. Enter code LIPSTICK to get 15% off your order. That's HelloNed.com/lipstick to get 15% off your order. Did you guys know that over 80 million Americans are affected by hair loss? It's so common that by age 35, 2/3 of men will experience some form of hair loss. And it's not just men. 40% of Americans who experience hair loss are women. I've been taking Divi for a few months now. I've talked about this a bunch, but my hair hasn't really been the same since I had kids, and I have seen a major improvement since starting it. Okay, so what is Divi good for? For those with hair shedding or thinning due to stress, postpartum, menopause, premenopausal, or any medical related conditions, scalps with a lot of product or oil buildup, anyone dealing with dry scalp, those who wear tight hairstyles or extensions, not talking about me by any means, or just anyone looking to start a healthy scalp routine. If you've been wanting to take control of your hair health but aren't sure where to start, start here. In fact, it all started for lifestyle blogger Dani Austin when she went through her own emotional hair loss journey. So she took it upon herself to research and learn about the importance of scalp health. This exploration led to Divi's first product, their scalp serum. So many key ingredients: copper, tripeptide 1, caffeine, tea tree oil, amino acids, hyaluronic acid. They've also got a shampoo and conditioner line, as well as hair vitamins too, which I cannot wait to try. Do you guys want to take back control of your hair and scalp health? Do it with clean, science-backed ingredients. We have a very special offer for Lipstick on the Rim. Our audience, go to diviofficial.com/LOTR or enter LOTR at checkout for 20%. You guys, we got you 20% off your first order. That's diviofficial.com/LOTR. That's DIVI official.com/LOTR for 20% off your first order. And when you trained, did you have to eat a certain way? You had to.
Yeah, I ate a ton. Right. That was the other thing, is unapologetically, right. Like you are eating a ton. Like you're playing ball for 3-4 hours a day. You're lifting in the gym. Maybe you're doing some other kind of track workout or something. And I ate a lot of food. And
you always look to me to be so lean out there.
Yeah, it was the training.
Training.
Yeah, it was definitely the training. And I have a lean, in certain parts, a lean body type. Right. But it was the training. And what's funny is I didn't even eat as good as I could have. I really learned about food in my probably early 30s. So that's what's, of course, that's life's,
and
you
how
know,
long
nature.
How long did you play for, ultimately?
I played off and on, probably for about 10 years. And then I came back a couple times. They were going to try to sort of invigorate the fours. Mm-hmm. And because I thought it was a great transition game for indoor players to the beach, I came back once at 38, and I was actually 5 months pregnant. That was a lot of fun, coming out in a bikini. They're like, wow, Gabby's been on the couch having beer. I was like, no, actually, I'm kind of pregnant. But you don't jump that well either when you're pregnant. And I also played once a couple tournaments when I was 40. So, you know, I'll be honest, though, volleyball, because it is a small lifestyle sport, I kind of always had my eyes on a lot of things all the time because I knew – I always joke that if I somehow would have had access to tennis and could have been good enough at tennis, you just have to be good at tennis if you're a female athlete. In almost every other sport, if you're a female athlete, you kind of have to have a side hustle.
You do.
And it's just the way it is. So the transition out of that, even though I miss competing and kind of that excellence, you know, timing, like good timing, the transition was easier because I was always having to do other things.
So for me, modeling helped me with everything. But like you, I always knew there was an end game. And I learned it very early on.
Yeah.
Can you touch on the importance of mindset and mental resilience? Like, yeah. How can non-athletes, such as myself, cultivate a similar perseverance and determination when it comes to our workouts and our attitude about our health and bodies?
Yeah. I think I have a couple sort of ideas about this. One is a self-awareness. Mm-hmm. I think we need to be really brutally honest with ourselves at all times. And within that, I always say there's sort of two gloves. There is, going back to my coach, Cecile Renaud, 100% accountability and grace simultaneously. So because if we just punish ourselves, we won't have the energy to get the work done. Meaning the training, the families, the businesses, we're just going to be beating ourselves up. So that's dumb and unproductive. So it's only for the sake of then building a real plan that is rooted in honesty about where you're at. Then, so it's like giving yourself grace, going, hey, I'm not, by the way, if you have like a 6-month-old kid, it's like, yeah, guess what? You're sleep deprived.
Right.
You're not going to train for a marathon. So it's that kind of self-awareness of what stage of my life am I in? What's kind of on my plate? Never making excuses why you can't get it done, but then building a plan that's realistic. So if you have a new baby, for example, I used to have 10-minute workouts. That's the way it is. And I think within that is not being afraid of the discomfort. A lot of women have a lot of lip service, or people. I shouldn't isolate to women, but I feel like women talk about it even more. Like, I really want to get in shape. I get in shape and I want to be in shape. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, okay. But, you know, there's something called work, right. Like sweaty. Yeah. Or girls, like, I used to joke, like, okay, lunchtime. But girls aren't being like, well, I have my makeup on. I'm not going to redo it. It's like, well, do you want to be in shape or not? So I think the self-awareness
and the mindset.
Yeah. And so, and then it's building a plan, because we can know exactly what to do. But if we don't build the plan, like, where does this fit into my day, my week, my month, and my year, it's never going to happen. And I would say recruiting a tribe, or at least another person.
To hold accountability.
Because you can't do it alone. I don't do it alone. Very few people.
Your team is amazing.
Don't do it alone, though. I mean, there's a couple, and they're usually lone wolves. And they almost go too far.
And so today, what is your nutrition? How much do you work out? Yeah. I mean, I want to talk about your workout because everybody wants to do
sure.
it.
Yeah, sure.
But Gabby Reese.
I do Monday, Wednesday, and Friday a land training, similar to what you did. So let's say I have 12 to 15 stations. I write it new each time because you don't want to do the same things. But I'm working from about 120 exercises. The goal in these workouts is at some point I will have worked some cardio, some working on one leg, balance and proprioception and balance. I will have strength trained. And to your, I would imagine your audience is very female, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do not be afraid of a dumbbell. You want.
I'm not afraid of a dumbbell.
No, not you. I'm saying to the
listener.
She's
not afraid of a dumbbell. I mean, she might be.
I am afraid of a dumbbell.
You do? Okay. Yeah. Never mind.
Women, I'm afraid of a heavyweight, not
yes,
a dumbbell.
And women say, I'm afraid I get too big and all these things. A dumbbell, time under tension, muscle is your best friend possible on all levels, whether it's weight management, whether it's constantly burning calories when you're not doing cardiovascular exercise, whether it's bone strength, whether it's even how your skin looks. Muscle is your friend.
I know.
Doesn't mean you have to have bulging muscles. You can be toned. I know women love that, right? You can be toned, but don't be afraid of muscle. So time under tension, cardio. Now, if people, a lot of people sometimes cardio it to death, I'd be careful of that. And if you wanted to get crazy, for example, if you're riding on a bike and you go, oh, I do a spin bike. That's why spinning can be good because they sprint and they go long and then they sprint and they go long. Is let's say you're sprinting, you're riding a bike on your own for 20 minutes. Every 90 seconds, do a 20-second sprint. Like, change it up and work. Like, sweat,
when you say,
breathe heavy.
What is time under tension? What does that actually mean?
That
Sorry,
means lifting I... some type of resistance.
Okay.
So if someone
so
says, hey,
high
my,
rep? A high
no,
rep
no, that's not what it means.
I mean, there's a place for high rep, but I would almost, it depends. So if you say, hey, my shoulders are very sore or I'm getting over a back injury, then really discover how to use bands because mm-hmm. they can be excellent. But if you want to sort of deal with grip strength, which by the way is very important as we get older, very important. And by nature, women, we just have weaker grips. Like what my legs can move versus what I can grip is considerably different. So don't shy away from things that are uncomfortable like push-ups. Who likes a push-up? If you can't do a pull-up, nobody can do a pull-up. Just hang once in a while. 10 seconds,
really good.
15 seconds, 30 seconds, right? So, okay. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday is this workout where when I'm done, one station might be cardio with a flexibility. It might be my back of my shoulders because we're hyper-developed in the front of our shoulders with backs. Then I'm squatting. I'm working on one leg. I'm back to cardio. So I'm tired. Now I'm going to go on one leg. Why? So that I work on my balance and coordination when I'm tired. So if we bake this into our movement patterns, as I'm 70, I'm 75, I'm 80, I go down the stairs, I maybe slip, I can right myself, right? So people think about their butt and their abs, which is great. But if we're just talking about for long-term performance, being a human being that can deal with stress and deal with family and deal with business and deal with getting older, we need to train in that way.
I have to say, doing your workout, I literally, it was 45 minutes. I did not need cardio. I did the workout.
Well, that was created because people go, this is what they say. I have no time, number one. I don't know what to do, number two. I get bored, number three. Okay, we'll solve all those problems for you.
And it does. Your workout does that.
And
the balance
is really, I
didn't, when we were going through all the stations, I didn't realize, because I felt, I'm like, I'm really off balance. Like, I felt really off balance. Yeah. I don't normally feel off balance, but with your workout, I'm like, I think I'm off balance.
But it's great because the body's so smart. The next time your brain goes and your nervous system go, oh, okay, I'm going to adapt. Like, I know what's happening.
She was like, you've got to watch your lunges, right? My legs, I think I was going either too far. But the next day I put on my bands, or a couple of days after, I didn't work out the next day. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get my legs, my knees over my ankle, like not too wide.
Yeah. But we want all this stuff, but we don't want to work. And so it's like, I want to lovingly invite people, but I'm never going to lie to them and say it's going to happen without work.
Do you train in any other way?
I do. I do pool training. So we have another type of fitness that we do where I work in the pool with weights. So what this does is, so as an athlete, I already have an artificial knee. Repetitive trauma, it's inevitable. People think it's also sexy, but you ask most athletes, stuff hurts all the time. Just does. And so I can do deep water jumps, 10 and 12 foot deep with weights and take a breath in between. So there's a way for me to be dynamic and explosive and ballistic without crushing my joints.
Right.
And then also I can work horizontally. So the sort of longer ways of the pool, holding breath, having weights. And what this does is a couple of things. It works on your cardiovascular, your hypoxic training, your lung capacity. But really, if you say to me, hey, what's sexy about it is that I get to meet myself. Because if I have a busy mind, I can't hold my breath. When people go, oh, be present or relax. It's like the water is a neutral teacher. And it's like,
I hate when someone says, be relaxed. I'm like,
it's the worst.
Please don't say that to me.
Yeah, or
don't,
calm
don't
down.
Say, don't say be relaxed.
But you can't get mad.
It gives me more anxiety.
I'm not relaxed right now. And you're giving me more anxiety.
Yes. And you can't get mad at the water because she's a neutral teacher. It's just feedback. It's just neutral feedback, which I like. And so, for example, even things like how hard I hold the weight, how wide I keep my eyes, how tight my jaw is, I'm burning oxygen just by that. So learning how to really going back to that self-awareness, what's going on? Well, you know, you're clenching your jaw and gripping. Okay, I got to find the way to relax. And then you can carry that into onto the land. And you know, when you have a day where you're running into it all, because you know, if you have like two kind of moments, you think something's going on with me that my energy is inviting this weirdness. So let me just stop for a second and see what's going on.
Let's check in.
And see if I can readjust and maybe go in a new way. Because sometimes people, I think they just go through their day and they go, well, the world's obviously out to get me and everyone's an asshole and whatever. It's like, no, let's calm down and see. So these, for me, the training is, yes, about being more fit, but it's about working all these things all the time so I'm better at it in my everyday life.
Having kids, because we have a lot of moms who listen, our listeners, our podcast.
Yeah.
There is a whole movement of trying to push us into single sporting.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had it happen to the point where like my oldest already quit soccer because they really, it's not that they wouldn't allow him to do other sports, but they just made it so difficult to him. And because he goes to a pretty academic elementary school, that's hard for him. Like, I think he just, and it was odd how it happened. I had a health issue. They were supposed to go to Europe. And my husband clearly couldn't go, and he couldn't go. And it was so weird. Emisha, her children came out, and I'm like, oh, you're not going to get to go. And it was almost like a relief for him.
Yeah.
And then he forgot about it.
Never played another game. He's like, I'm done at the end of the summer. He's like, I'm done. It was weird.
You know, parents, the tricky thing with parents is that when they're either living vicariously through their children, let me just remind people statistics. 1% of all kids will get a college scholarship, and 1% of those kids will ever play in the pros, depending on what sport they play. And by the way, depending on what sport, unless you play in the NBA, Major League Baseball, hockey, football, or tennis, I don't care if you are the best in the world at these other sports like lacrosse, for example. What does that mean? So if they're not jonesing and chomping at the bit to play it, because that should be the point. And I do agree with you when you say, hey, get your daughters involved, because I think having a relationship with your body as a tool versus just an object is so powerful because, oh, my body does stuff. Boys do this easier because they play. They roughhouse, they play, they do stuff. For a girl to get that relationship with her body is so great. But you know what? If she gets that by 10th grade or 11th grade, she has it.
She has it.
Right. She doesn't have to play college athletics to get it. So I think the idea of the pursuit of excellence and also having fun, like if the kid is like, man, this challenge feeds me in a really interesting way. Like I loved the stress and the grind and it really fed me. It didn't beat me down. Doesn't mean there weren't bad days and bad seasons, of course. I've cried behind a lot of bleachers, let me tell you. But it's the difference of instead of the minute the kid's done is like, I don't want to do this anymore. So I would just invite parents to sort of talk to their kids like, hey, are you having fun? And if coaches try to pressure or guilt, stand up for your kid and just be hey, listen. Yeah.
I did, didn't I? I stood up for
you really
him.
Did.
Yeah.
I tried to advocate. I'm like, you know, I don't think for the body, them growing up, like, I mean, all my kids play sports, but I do not one sport developmentally for their body. I see it. I see it when they turn in eighth grade, ninth grade. They're already getting Tommy Jones. Like my husband played baseball. He was like, I would never let Brooks pitch like that. There's no way he wouldn't start pitching really until eighth grade.
That's right. And the more we develop from all these different sports, if the kids have an interest, you just will be a better athlete, which you can bring into everything. And then you sort of, maybe you get into 10th grade, 11th grade, and you think, you know, this sport, I'm matching with this game. I think I'm going to go there. They'll find it.
I think you made such a valid point. I live in a very sports-centric town. I mean, Summit, New Jersey is... It is like the mecca of, if you don't play lacrosse or soccer, you're kind of like on the outskirts. And I do watch a lot of parents. And to your point, they're living vicariously through their kids.
Yeah.
It's something they missed or didn't do or didn't finish or accomplish what they wanted to. And now it's like, no one's going to tell me my 9-year-old knows that she wants to play lacrosse or soccer for the next 10 years. There's no way she knows. She doesn't know herself yet. So how could she know something that's so indicative of her future and her college experience and all of that? But I think that I do think culturally we're putting like a really tremendous amount of pressure on these kids that doesn't need to be there. They need to have fun. And eventually I look at it more as like a tool, you know, for her to feel confident that she's strong, for her to kind of meet different groups of kids, like socially, she's not pigeonholed into
just
her one
into the 122 girls in her class. Like, she has to get, she does soccer, she does horsey, she does.
Yeah.
I will say, I did get pressure from Miss Rubin, Ellie's mom, last time. They're like, thinking it's going for volleyball, Sunshine. I'm like, no, we're not doing another
sport. It is fascinating. Now, I will say this, if you do have a particular child who is really into sports, if you have girls, be careful with lifting too early. Right. Work on technique and coordination. There's a woman named Dr. Stacy Sims. If women, moms or dads want to get somebody who's really good, because as their body is developing and they've got all these hormones, it can be damaging to go too early on the weights. So work on coordination and technique, then maybe add the weights. I'm not sure if it's 15, 16 and slowly and intelligently.
At what age? Like when you say not to, I mean, she's 9. I'm not anywhere.
Oh, definitely.
No.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think a girl should touch a weight. The problem is we see boys and boys get their muscles and everything sooner. Mm-hmm. Girls go, they develop sooner, but boys' muscularity and bone density and everything is so different. So, you know, what a boy can do at 15 or 16. So as girls are, for example, getting their periods and doing all these things, they should be working on their coordination and their technique. Then they can do loading. And that's later. So Stacy Sims is a very good reference for that for females. And with males, you know, again, just being careful that as they're developing, you don't want to overdo it because their poor bodies, you pay. Like I said, I already have a fake knee and that was just from a shorter period of time. I know most athletes have stuff and you're willing to pay it, but none of us started, you know, banging iron.
No.
Super young. Now, agility, flexibility, mobility, coordination, fantastic. Great.
I know. I hit up Gabby. I was like, I need agility. I need agility for Brooksy.
Yeah.
But that's what he needs. He doesn't need weight. I mean, he's, you know, 11.
Yeah.
What would you say to someone who wants to get more toned but doesn't necessarily want to bulk up? We get this question a lot. And I used to be this person in the back of SoulCycle lifting my 2-pound weights. I'm like, I'm not going to lift the weights. I don't want to bulk. Can you?
Where do you guys get that idea from?
I got that as a model drilled into me.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Like, have you ever personally ever experienced lifting weights and feeling looking bulky?
No, not at all.
But
not
I get hungrier. I get hungrier, and then it kind of feels like I'm defeating the purpose of working out,
which is to be what? Skinny?
Starving.
I'm never going to be skinny. That's just not my body type, right?
Like, you're doing, Emisha, you were doing so well. You look amazing.
I'm so good.
But what is it?
Tell her how much you've lost.
I've lost 50 pounds.
Holy cow. But what's the purpose? Oh, the purpose of working out is to lose weight?
The purpose of working out.
No, I don't know.
No, I mean, for me, it has always been to tone, which you just said that word, tone. Everybody uses that word, but it's, you know, if you lose weight and you're not exercising, your muscle kind of, I don't want to be skinny fat. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that's not cute.
Yeah.
So, but I've always had naturally very strong legs. Like, I like my legs. I've never had a problem with it. They've always been muscular. I don't have cellulite. But if I do a lot, they do get a little thicker. Like, it's like my thighs will rub together a little more as opposed to right now. They don't rub together, which is great.
Right.
You know, I feel better. I don't want to have to put a deodorant stick between my thighs in the summer.
But you're also really being healthy right now with your nutrition.
Yeah. So it's all been like you should have seen me, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even.
But how do your thighs get bigger? Are you squatting? Like, what are you doing that they get bigger?
I mean, I used to do, when I first worked out, I would like do those like leg presses, right? At the gym. Oh, I was yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought
the thing is like, for example, the leg press machine, the fact that your hips, like if you're a bodybuilder, it's pretty, maybe it's an interesting machine because you're building a certain type of muscle. But the fact that your hips are locked in at an upside down angle and you're pushing very heavy weight, it's almost unnatural.
Yeah.
You know, so I would always just move people into functional movement. And usually it means you would be able to move less weight, but in either in a more compromised position. So in one leg or, you know, for more reps or things like that. But I think first it's having a relationship of what's the goal of being fit. And like, if you ask me, I'm a much better person. Mm-hmm. I don't flip out. I can have things coming at me from every direction and I can try to stay for the most part focused and calm. Then it's to be, you know, physically strong and capable to do the things I want to do. So I think it's first writing out, and everyone can be different, whatever they want. It could be like, I want to have a big butt and like flat tummy. Great. Whatever it takes. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not attached to a goal. But it's knowing that it is, first of all, usually pretty hard to get bulky. It really is.
It's a common misnomer.
I'm telling you, you have to write a book on this because it's a common, like,
I know.
You work out, don't too much weights, you're going to get bulky, you're going to do.
Well, because then the numbers go up because muscle is heavier than fat. So like right now, sitting here, I'm 180 pounds.
Yeah, you're not.
I absolutely am. 180
you're thin.
Pounds. I'm not thin. I'm healthy, but I mean, I'm thin, but I'm not thin.
Your arms do not have any fat on them.
Okay.
I'm jealous of your arms.
So here's the thing is, so first of all, we have to say like, hey, ultimately am I at a pretty healthy weight? Because weight, then we should then not be on the scale at that point. We should say, how do I feel? How's my energy? How do I look when I go in the mirror? How's my clothes feeling? Period. Now, if we are overweight, then great. Use the scale as a thing that motivates you, because if you exercise and eat well, you will lose weight. Right. Unless you have something really going on in either your microbiome or your hormones. Right. Yeah. So that I would say that for people first. If people have been like navigating this, do the basics. So how's my movement? How's my nutrition? How's my sleep? How's my hydration? How are my relationships? Okay. Mm-hmm. Now we can go a little deeper. I'm not losing weight. I'm not feeling good. I don't have energy. Check those things. Okay. So maybe I need to get my hormones checked. And maybe I can get my gut checked. And I think if we start there for a lot of people, that is a very simple but achievable way to kind of get a look under the hood realistically and go, okay, with these small tweaks, I can really support myself. And then the other final and really important part is the stress. People can do everything perfect and heal everything. But if they're so stressed out, for example, we live in a world now, especially with the phone and social media, and maybe you live in these communities, high achieving, high octane communities, where it's like your yard should be perfect. Every party you throw should be perfect. Your birthday thing should be perfect. Your clothes should be perfect. Your accessories should be perfect. Your nails should be perfect. Your relationship should be perfect. I think we have it gotten so weird about this idea about looking from the outside in versus what do I want? How's my partnership? What's going on with my kids? And kind of F everything else, because we do that for everybody else all day long. And now we've got social media and Instagram that tells us like, we really got to do it. And I think it kicks our ass in a real way.
Well, I think the keeping up with the Joneses, right? Well, it's like that Kelsey Ballerini song where she's like, even the Joneses can't keep up with the Joneses. Yeah. Like,
it's a no-go.
That's literally what
it's
it
a
is.
No-go.
Yeah.
And what if you showed up and you were just like, hey, what's up? What are the ladies going to say? Did you see her shoes? Do you want to hang out with those ladies anyway? It's like,
we don't. We're like good like that.
No, but you know what I mean? Like at a certain point, it's sort of maybe this is the other thing I've seen with performance. What are the things we can take away that are keeping any of us from being successful? We don't want to add a ton more. You guys are already doing so many things. And so what are the things getting in the way to make it easier?
I love that.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I think it's a mindset that I think feeds the way you approach your sense of self and taking care of yourself. It's not typical. I mean, I know I will say, you know, having lost a lot of weight, I look at it as I feel better about myself, but I've always said this, you know, on a few episodes here and there, but I have three daughters. I want to have a healthy relationship mm-hmm. with myself. And when mm-hmm. I was overweight, I didn't. I know I spoke poorly of myself and they would hear me, and luckily they were too young, but I want my 9-year-old to feel like mommy's confident and mommy feels good and not put an emphasis on anything other than being healthy. And I think that's where it comes from for me. But of course, there's probably like a deep insecurity in me about having, you know, I fear gaining weight again.
And I think that makes so much sense. And that's why then you call your best girlfriend and you go, man, I'm having a bumpy patch. I think you got to offload that stuff because it's so human. And if it's like, if I had something happen a certain way for me, of course, it's always going to be in the back of my mind. But maybe it's this. Maybe you'd start to develop the comfort of going, hey, I have the tools to get out of it. If it starts moving in the direction that isn't working for me or isn't reflecting my goals, I have the tools.
Well, and I think that's what you've done to your credit. You're like, okay, well, I'll take off like a couple of days. And then she's like, I'm back working out. I'm doing this. I'm like, I'm walking, I'm running, I'm jumping, I'm dancing. You know what I mean? Like the same for me. Like sometimes I have busy weeks and sometimes my body works. And I do listen to that more than I used to, as opposed to just constantly pushing and pushing, because sometimes it's not productive.
No.
I love food. And that's the difference between Molly and I. Like, I give me a good meal, I will lick the plate clean. Like, I'd rather work out.
That's great. Yeah. But how about you're doing your family dinners, it's kind of, I don't want to say boring, but normal good. And then it's like, oh, we're going to that restaurant or we're taking this trip. So it's not foregoing that. It's just not, it doesn't have to be
every day.
Right.
Yeah. So, and that's how I live my life now.
I recently got the flu, and let's just say it was not fun. I always try to prioritize my immune system, but recently I have been really trying to up my game. It's common to think vitamin C is the best place to start. It's honestly what I used to think, but I've actually found something even better and more effective: Armra Colostrum. I'm not kidding when I say I feel like my immune health has never been stronger. Between being a mom, traveling like crazy this past month, I've been exposed to so many germs. For those of you who aren't familiar, Armra Colostrum is a proprietary concentrate of bovine colostrum, which harnesses over 400 functional nutrients to strengthen your immune barriers. It acts like the first line of defense against harmful particles from the environment that can trigger inflammation and make you sick. In clinical trials, bovine colostrum was found to be at least 3 times more effective than the flu vaccine at preventing the flu. In addition to strengthening your immunity, it ignites metabolism and fortifies your gut health. I've also noticed improved hair growth. My skin is looking more radiant. I've also found more energy after my workouts, and I have been doing harder workouts in the past few weeks, and I can really tell a difference. I take 3 to 4 scoops a day, only with cold liquids or foods. Sometimes I dry scoop it into my mouth, which is really great for the oral microbiome. Okay, we've worked out a very special offer for our audience here at Lipstick on the Rim. You're going to receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmra.com/lipstick or enter lipstick to get 15% off your first order. That's tryarmra.com, tryarmra.com/lipstick. This International Women's Month, I'm kicking it off by supporting female-founded brands. And what better brand to start with than Chroma, a female-founded company with 90% female investors. I actually had the pleasure of having Lisa Odenweller on Lipstick on the Rim a while back. I highly recommend checking out the episode and taking a listen if you missed it. She really is such a wellness pioneer, and I'm constantly inspired by her. Okay, let's talk why I love Chroma. It's a program unlike any other on the market. It's based on nourishment, not starvation. So you actually get to eat real food. Whether you're looking to lose weight or keep weight off, improve your gut health, digestion, sleep better, and have more energy, balance your hormones, and even quit drinking coffee, the 5-day reset is really the perfect way to kickstart a new routine that will give you real results. And that's really what it's all about. You get 10 delicious foods and beverages to eat and drink every day that are super nourishing and nutrient rich. It's not at all like a cleanse that leaves you starved and exhausted. I love that it's customizable, meaning you can add in protein and vegetables as you need, so you never feel depleted. I have no problem keeping up with my family, work, or workout routine when on Chroma. In fact, I feel really good. We even have some of the individual packets in the office that we all use on an ad hoc basis. I've done the reset so many times I can't even count. After 5 days, I feel so good. I'm lighter, I'm more energized, I'm more focused, I sleep better. My bloat is gone and my digestion is running pretty smooth. Chroma is offering our listeners 15% off anything on their site with code Lipstick on the Rim. So order today and start discovering the pleasure in the pursuit of healthy living. That's Chroma. You're going to get 15% off with code Lipstick on the Rim.
So what's your breakfast like?
I'm a person who I drink a coffee with a bunch of fat in it and I then will
eat. The MCT oil? The MC?
I use the creamers, but I use real coconut oil because the MCT upsets my stomach because it's a derivative of. And so I'll use real coconut and that fat will get me through till about lunch. Yeah. And then listen, plants and animals. If you say people go, what's your diet? It's like it's plants and animals. I don't snack a ton. And I try to have dinner at least 3 hours. I know this is hard, so I'm totally putting a frame around that. To the best of my ability, I try to eat 3 hours away from when I'm going to go to bed because it's helpful, right?
Fasting. We just heard this.
Gravity is, I wrote it down. Gravity is your best friend.
Gravity is your best friend.
Yeah. And so, you know, that is helpful. And also, you'll hear all types of like, oh, we're going to fast. First of all, fasting is 24 hours. Caloric restriction is having those 12-hour windows. That 12-hour windows is not fasting. So the other thing is, and that's why I like Stacey Sims for the women now, is a lot of women don't perform better fasted. They perform better fed. And so all studies were done on men until 1996. And so a lot of these studies are out on men, not on women. So women will be like, I want to kill somebody. It's like, it may not be great for our hormones. I think, to the best of our ability, healthy fats and protein are really good for us.
That's what I think.
And do you think there's any specific food you should eat before or after a workout?
You know, there is a lot of kind of data suggesting that our window to get that protein in is shorter than men's after training. So if it's like you want to get a little bit of protein after, I think we put too much around like, oh, my juices, my protein, my smoothies, blah, 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 blah. I think that gets a little overkill, but I think a little protein kind of within that 30-minute window could be supportive. And especially like you said, I overeat, but I mean, I feel hungrier when I train, but you do get to a place of homeostasis or, you know, efficient energy. So if you just give it long enough, the body,
it'll bounce out.
You do. You really do.
Do you drink alcohol?
I don't. I know this is not popular on this show. I'm so sorry.
No, don't worry. No. At all.
Alcohol is tough on your gut.
I know.
I don't. But see, you have to remember, I don't have a moral issue with alcohol. I grew up in the Caribbean. People were off the rails. And I looked at it and I thought, it's not for me.
How did you meet Laird?
I interviewed Laird for a TV show. I used to do a show with MTV, MTV Sports. And then I got my own show called The Extremists. And Laird was a guest.
When did you have that show on MTV?
92 to 94, 95. So
right before.
Yeah, because Dan Cortez got hurt doing all these things. And so he's like, it's his show. And so he's like, bring someone else to go do this stuff. So I was like flying, jumping out of planes and going cars and stuff. So I imagine I interviewed all these guys. I wasn't like, oh, yeah, let's hook it up, you know? And then I met Laird and that was it. I mean, listen, I've spoken very freely about this. Laird and I have definitely almost been divorced once in 2000. Papers were filed and we had a rough, Laird drank alcohol for the first 12 years of our marriage. We've been together almost, 28 years. The first 12 years of our marriage, Laird had he wrestled that dragon to the ground.
Right.
And so, you know, we've gone through the dance and I'm sure we will have new dances to go through. But, you know, Laird is a great partner and also is much braver in ways that I'm not. So he's really helped me learn to be vulnerable and to be also very, you know, I took on the idea of being stoic younger, but that's also connected partially to fear. I'm not going to really tell you what I think and feel because that's vulnerable.
Right.
And so I had to be like, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. Because Laird's, you know, just kind of all out there.
Is it weird to surf with him?
Surf with him?
Yeah.
Oh, there, I mean, there'd be no time that I would be in the same water. I mean, we have surfed like, ha ha ha, a couple recreationally times. This is, I don't surf with Laird. I mean, first of all, I definitely don't surf with Laird, but the times I've been out in the water where it was small enough somehow that I could be out at the same time, Laird would catch a wave in, he might start backwards, might spin his board. I'm like praying to the gods, like, okay, let me focus, I can catch this wave. And then he'd yell, go on this one. And then the whole lineup looks at you like, well, are you going to go? And so I thought, you know, this is your thing. And I love the water, but Laird, and you know, where Laird typically surfs, a person like me doesn't belong.
Yeah, no, I know. We did a few surf lessons. It's so terrifying.
I'm too scared.
I'm like,
it's definitely, you definitely pay a consequence if you don't. I mean, listen, it's great. It's a great teacher, especially for a guy like Laird. Mother Nature is a great teacher for him.
It's amazing. Okay. Any supplements you swear by women, men?
I think most of us need vitamin D. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm not a doctor, and I can't tell you what to do. But what shows up that could be helpful and supportive and worth looking into would be vitamin D, magnesium, zinc, quercetin.
What's quercetin?
Quercitin. It does help with, oh my goodness, why am I forgetting?
I take it. It's like it's for your immune system.
Acid. Uric acid. It's for your uric acid, I believe. Quercetin is good, but it's in supportive. So magnesium does about 72 functions in the body. So it's good. And there's all different kinds.
I'm taking it.
For sleep. There's all different kinds.
Two at night. I know I learned that. Citrate, oxidate.
Glycinate.
Yeah.
That's a good one for sleep. And so, and then vitamin C also, I know, and vitamin C is so primary, but again, the more you kind of look at some of the data, it's pretty great. And some of us might want to look into a multi, but here's the deal. After two pills, I think it's called supplement fatigue or vitamin fatigue, the drop off of it, you know, adhering to a program drops off. So I would just encourage people not to get overwhelmed. Vitamin D is definitely, if you said, hey, number one. And for women, I think omegas can be really important, especially, you know, not only your skin, but your cycle and all kinds of great things.
So if I do the vanilla creamer in my coffee.
Yes.
And the Laird superfood, mm-hmm. then should I do the coconut oil on top of that or do one or the other?
I mean, I only do that in the morning and that's like a fat bomb. And then I train. So it's like, if you're a breakfast girl, do not do the oils.
Okay.
Just do the creamer.
Okay. Do the creamer.
But, you know, supplementation is tricky for a lot of people, but we don't have a lot of things in our soil and we do live indoors quite often. So I would encourage people because with these small little practices, I think we can bring some real buoyancy to our system.
How much do you think a woman should work out with your method? How long? 45 minutes, an hour?
Oh, I don't think you need to work out an hour. I think you need to be consistent.
Hear that, listeners?
I think if you sort of really were serious with yourself and said, I busted my ass for 30 to 45 minutes, 4 or 5 days a week, that's a pretty good start. And if you're monitoring, listen, the food is everything and getting to bed.
Food.
Go to bed. You only recover at night. So let's start there. If you said one or the other, and then there's people, if they're eating pretty well and maybe they stretch when they watch TV and walk, they're already down the road pretty good. You know, I think, you know, I think the only way is just to be like, rawr, all the time. And that's not how I feel. That works. I like that. That works for me. But
question came from my husband. Okay. Is there a hydrating drink concoction you like? Because we're trying to stay away. We're trying to get rid of Gatorade.
Yeah. Well, we have a hydrate product. But what I would say for people, and we have, it's really a great formulation, is if you just take water and put some pink salt in it. But if no kid is going to, if they don't want that, then, you know, try to get flavored ice cubes, like make them cherry juice ice cubes or lemon juice ice cubes and put it in there. Because the Gatorade, the problem is it's very, I don't mean to pick on Gatorade, but it's high in sugar. Don't talk to me about the colors. And that, so if you're in a sporting event, now you're using sugar, which suppresses your immune system while you're in an athletic event. It's kind of weird.
No, I know.
So I think for me.
What about coconut water?
Yeah, if it's the real and they don't add a bunch of stuff, I think it's great. That's what ours is. It's the powdered freeze-dried coconut. They just add to water.
Oh, I'm going to get that.
So one thing that we haven't talked about that's super important for your health is breathing.
Yeah.
I don't think I
catch myself not breathing all the time.
I don't think I breathe sometimes.
It's number one. It's number one. And I would be irresponsible if I didn't bring it up because most of us, including myself, we don't breathe well, especially when we're sitting here. So all I want to say to people is if you can consciously be breathing, unless you're sprinting, keep your mouth closed. Do not breathe through your mouth. You do not need to be breathing in and out through your nose, down into your belly. What that would require, though, is letting your belly be soft. And all of us ladies are sucking our belly in, right?
Wait, hold on.
So
hold
let
on.
It sit like a Buddha. Put hold your on. Hands soft and like just
Wait,
let it
on.
Be.
Your mouth closed. My mouth is always open.
Yes,
talking.
And so here's what's happening. Well, that's okay.
Okay, hold on.
But when you're not talking, because otherwise your CO2 is, you're scrubbing your CO2. Okay? So I'll try to make this really simple and basic. So if your CO2 rises in your system, you have to do this by keeping your mouth closed. The air that you're actually getting into your bloodstream can get absorbed into your cells and your tissue. Okay? Now, the other thing is if you're mouth breathing, it's usually just going into your chest. It's short and quick, which means you're stressing yourself out, putting yourself in your sympathetic, your revved out, your fight or flight system. If you go slow into the nose, down into the belly, so it goes deep in there. The belly has to be soft. Then you kind of think, oh, the breath moves up to the lower part of the lungs and the ribs and then open and round in the chest. Not shoulder shrugging, but expansive and round. And then when you exhale, you bring your belly button gently to your spine through your nose. If you do that for 2 minutes, you'll be calmer. You'll be in your parasympathetic. Now, if you want to get crazy, as long as your exhale is just a little longer than your inhale, so 5 seconds in, 7 seconds out, you do that for a couple minutes, you automatically go into your parasympathetic.
What's your parasympathetic?
Calm.
Sympathetic.
If you're walking around in your sympathetic system all day, I'm anxious, I'm edgy, I'm this, I'm that. How do we start from a more centered place whenever we get a chance? If you sit at your desk and you're working, you're about to go into a stressful meeting, just spend 2 minutes breathing correctly. Now, if you're doing sprints, that's something else. That's in nose, out mouth, and you want to offload your CO2, and that's a whole other ball of wax. Most of us are not dealing with that.
When I run on the treadmill and I do my sprints, I'm supposed to do in nose, out mouth?
You can, and if you want to get crazy, if you go a little slower and see how much you can work, go nose, nose, now you're really getting serious. But from time to time, that's fine. Go in through your nose and out through your mouth, and occasionally you can offload your CO2 so the next breath is fuller.
God, I love you.
Okay. But I want to encourage people, just notice your breathing.
Well, no, I notice my breathing because I had to do a colonoscopy. I started hyperventilating before the colonoscopy.
That's understandable.
I know.
But then you just have a tool. So I just use the breath. Like maybe you're getting into a conversation in your work or with your partner. Try to see if you can calm it down. Not ramp it up.
Yeah, no, I can ramp like there's nobody's business.
Well, and sometimes ramp is a habit. Sometimes we go like, no, I want to be upset. I'm going to go right for it. This is going to piss me off, so I'm going right for it. And I think that that's another part of being fit. I put that in quotes, is recognizing, oh, I'm being lazy and I'm not being self-disciplined in that I need to control myself here a little bit. Then we don't have to have as much vino at the end of the night.
Exactly. You're a model and an athlete at the same time. What is the biggest beauty secret you learned?
I always joke that a smile and a firm butt is the best accessory.
I believe that.
I would say sweating is probably pretty good. Yeah, my skin is held
up. You've always had good skin.
Yes, but I think it's held up because of my lifestyle. I mean, I've been in the sun, which is the number one no-no.
But you don't see it. You don't even have hyperpigmentation, melasma, nothing. You're like even. I'm looking
but
at
But I think
you.
It's part is my the support of my nutrition.
Yeah.
Partially. And is it genetics? It is.
I know.
I'm not going to lie. My dad is from Trinidad and I have mixed family blood.
Amazing.
So it helped. But it definitely exercise and sweating has helped out.
Rapid fire. What time do you wake up in the morning?
6:15.
What time do you go to sleep at night?
9:30, 10.
What's your biggest vice?
My biggest vice?
She doesn't have one.
I don't. I mean, I think my biggest vice is just the thing I'm working on is not using aggression and leaning in to things that I'm actually uncomfortable with. So I'd say that that's like the thing I'm kind of like, I'm not going to try to project and worry and do all this stuff. But also when I get, I feel aggravated by something, I actually go into it. So I'm trying to be more mellow.
What's your superpower?
I think I read people pretty well. I can feel where they're at. But also the minute my tips of my wings move one side or the other, I'm pretty good about trying to get it back to even pretty quick.
I don't want to say go-to cocktail, but
I know what's your
oh my go-to cocktail. I like. A kombucha. Bitters is good sometimes.
How about coffee or tea?
Coffee. I like yerba mate though. If you really want to get jacked up, yerba mate is no joke. Yeah, but I'm a coffee girl now. I started drinking coffee at 45 when we started this business.
Stop it!
I swear to God, never drank coffee in my life.
Wow. What would you drink in the mornings?
I don't know. Water. I like caffeine. I never had a problem with caffeine. I just didn't like coffee. And Laird will say to this day that basically I basically have a hot chocolate with shots of
that's so funny.
Coffee in it.
Text, calling, or FaceTime?
I will either voice, text, or call. Because it's faster and more efficient.
What's your favorite beauty product?
It's a great question. I mean, it's not my favorite beauty product, but I will share I'm using a Japanese charcoal soap to wash my face. Ooh. That takes everything off. It doesn't have a lot of chemicals, but it gets your face clean. So I do like that.
You kind of got to get in there.
Yeah. And plus if you have makeup, like if you're doing stuff, I really like that. Oh, you know, I do like, okay. I've been trying your C morning serum.
Morning cocktail.
It's very good.
It's very good.
And I do, there's a brand called One Skin. It's a little bit more technical. I've been using their stuff. But I would say to people, actually, like, being hydrated is probably a really good beauty product.
I know. I'm drinking more water. I'm drinking everything.
And, or broths. You know, it's just the collagen, the stuff for your skin, connectivity and stuff. So
we always ask. We love a broth. We always ask every guest before we go, if you could give advice to your 10-year-old self, what would it be?
I think just don't worry. It's going to be okay. And if it's not, you'll deal with it then. And I think, you know, the whole notion of like, don't take anything personal. I think that's obvious. And, you know, it's your life. And so the best way to do it is probably your way. It's sometimes scary. I even have that now. I walk my own path and I feel unsure and I'm like, yeah, but what other way am I going to do it? And don't worry, because I have spent a lot of time projecting into what could be in the future and things like that. And I think it's hard on us when we do that.
I do too.
Yeah.
You're amazing. Okay.
You're incredible. I learned so much.
Okay.
I'm going to lift some weights.
Yeah. Host of the Gabby Reshow podcast. She's leading health, wellness, sports psychology. She launched it in 2020. Gabby Reese at Gabby Reese. And hi, X. I mean, do you have an app?
Actually, we have a breathing app with xptlife.com. So we have tons of guided breathing and things like that. And it's not just me. We have some really talented people we work with on there. But yeah. So,
and Laird Superfood. It's amazing.
You're inspiring. Thank you.
Thanks, you guys.
It was so nice to meet you.
All right, guys. Okay. That's a wrap on Lipstick on the Rim. Emma Shaw, I love you.
Love you.
Thanks for listening to Lipstick on the Rim with Molly Sims and my ride or die, Emisha Gormley. We are always so excited to bring you guys along on this journey. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok at Lipstick on the Rim, or my website where we just dive a little bit deeper into my favorite products, trends, and much, much more on mollysims.com. This podcast is a production with Dear Media. A special thanks to my team, Elizabeth Tawfield, Schaefer Carrillo, Ken Orion, and Anna Sessions, and everyone at Dear Media. Don't forget to listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss out on the fun.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.